Hey, Balak, Tavshinayin Tes. At any event. So what does it say over here? It says at the beginning of the Parsha that Balak saw what Yisrael had done to the Amori, and he sent messengers to Bilam, right? And he says there's a nation has come out of Mitzrayim. Hine chisa esein ha'aretz. They've covered the view of the land, right? V'hu yoshev mimuli. And they are, right now, encamped opposite me. Okay? So, just take a look. See the footnote over here. It says, chisa esein ha'aretz. That's an interesting term. They've covered the eye of the land. And that same term is found, right, in Shmos. Right, you see at the bottom there, recall in the footnote, right? The footnote it says, okay, don't run your shirt. Recall, he says he saw es ein haaretz. He's talking about the arbe, makas arbe. Below yochaliros es haaretz, you won't be able to see the land. Vachalas yesra pleita, and the arbe will eat whatever is left over from the borad. Vachalas kol es kol eitz tzomer lachem min asad, and it'll consume all the the trees. So the Maral over there says, with regard to the Arbe, he says with regard Bechlal to all of the, what do you call, all of the Makos. The Makos and Mitzrayim were coming, as it were, to rectify the damage that was done to the perception of the Asar Mamoros, of the 10 sayings by which Hashem created the world. So each Maka, as it were, stripped away another level of tumah, of confusion, of blockage that didn't allow people to see, the fact that Hashem is the creator. Mm-hmm. And the last makkah, if we look at it that way, the last makkah, which is makkah's bechoros, is keneged brachios. The next last makkah, which was choshech, was keneged, yehi or. Right? The third to last makkah was arbe, and that's keneged yehi rakia. Let there be a vision between between the heaven and the earth. And that, remember, the Rakia was created on the second day. It was created on the second day. And that's why there's no ketov written on the second day. Why? Because it's the day of division between heaven and earth. In other words, it is that division that enables us to have proper Bechira Chafshis, because we're the system of the heaven, clearly connected to the system of the earth, so we wouldn't have any free will anywhere. It would all be very simple. So the Rakia, on the one hand, is that which enables us to have a job description within the world. On the other hand, Kitovah is not written on that day. And that's the same day that Gehenna is created, the same day that Malachi Chabola, the avenging angels, are created, etc. So the Arbe, right? The Arbe, when it says it comes in V'chisos Ein Ha'aretz, right? They cover, as it were, the view of the land. The idea is to remind them that that you have misperceived, the disconnection between heaven and earth. You've misperceived the purpose of the Rakia. Because there is a Rakia and you don't see an immediate connection between heaven and earth, so you think it's a self-contained system. You recall what you do doesn't make any difference, etc. And that's the flaw. Therefore, the remez to them, the tikkun to that, was the arbe, right? You can't see the land bichlal. In other words, if you don't recognize that the division between heaven and earth is only for you to rectify that which is upon the earth and to raise up, right, that which is upon the earth, to connect it to the heaven, but rather you see it as being separate, so now you won't see the land at all. Right? You won't see the land at all. That was the usage of the Arbe. Here, right, this is what Balak says with regard to the Jewish people, the Chisa Seina Aretz. In other words, they are preventing me from seeing the view of the land. The Chisa Seina Aretz, I can't see the land because of them. I can't see the land because of it. Now, what does that mean? He can't see the land because of it. You could say because they're numerous, and you could say, just like the Arba is numerous, they cover the land, you can't see it. It's covered in a sheath. So to the Jewish people, are so numerous, you can't see the land. But I think there's more to it. In other words, especially if you use the idea of the Maral, that this idea of a Chisa Seina Aretz is coming to speak to preventing or not seeing or having an inappropriate connection between heaven and earth, So I think that's probably what you call what's being addressed over here also with regard to Balak. So that's Balak's concern, right? So what did he do? He says, Vayishlach el Bilam. He sent messengers to Bilam. So the Targum Yonasan says about Bilam, Vashar is Gadin, right? Lavas, Lovan Arami, who Bilam? The Targum Yonasan says that who is Bilam? He's Lavan. Lavan. Right? Lavan.
Why?
Oh, so we have to see. Lavan was also an Aramean. Right? Uh-huh. He was also an Aramean. Right? So now, so really cool, he came from that, really cool, from by the river, by the Euphrates. So now we have two people we're going to address over here. Two different personages. We've got Balak, and we've got Bilam. Why is the Parsha is named for Balak? It's interesting. The Parsha is named for Bilar, Balak. Right? And let's examine that. So let's take a look-see. What does it say over here?
What does it say, Bilam, Arami?
What do you call it? He came from near the Nahar. The Nahar is what he calls Aram Naharaim. Everybody calls the Aram, which is near what he calls the rivers. And he comes from what he calls Al HaNahar, right? Asher Al HaNahar B'nei Amo. So he was, so it says, so the Targum says, who was Bilam? Bilam was Lavan.
Uh-huh.
Was Lavan. Okay? Fine. It's interesting. It's interesting. The Targum continues. Who Bilam? He wanted to, his name is Bilam. Bilam is Miloshon Livlo, to swallow. He wanted to swallow up the Jewish people. Right? And he was a fool. Why? Because he wanted to destroy his very descendants. Because after all, if Bilam is Lavan, then Lavan's daughters are Rachel and Leah. That means what he called, it means they essentially emanate from what he called from his stock. I mean, we may not what he called be associated with him, but the fact is, from his point of view, those are his descendants.
Uncle,
right? I mean, he's really called, he's a grandfather, right? He's a grandfather. Lahavdil, right? He even said himself, Habanim banayv, Habanos nosayv, Vechol asher atah ro'eh lihu. When he caught up with Yaakov, he says, all these, the children, the daughters, are all mine, right? And now he's going to try and curse them and destroy them. So he's a fool. Okay, so now that we've seen Balak is concerned with what? That the Jewish people, the Chisas Ein Ha'aretz, they've covered the view of the land. That's Balak's concern.
Oh, yeah.
Bilam, right, that's what he said, the Chisas Ein Ha'aretz. We said he would call it, that's what I would get rid of them, because they've covered the view of the land. Bilam, on the other hand, right, Bilam is Lavan. What do we know about Lavan? So if we go to Sefer Dvarim, right, we go to Sefer Dvarim, right, what does it say in Parshas Bikurim? Right, when you bring Bikurim, so it says Vanisa Vamarta, you will bring the Bikurim, the first fruits. That's the quintessential statement that everything belongs to the Creator. Your first fruits you bring to what he called to Hashem, Bikurim, right? Bikurim, and then in the declaration of Bikurim, what does it say? Vanisa Vamarta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Arami Ovid Avi. Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayogar Sham Bimseimaat, Vayisham Legoy Gadol Atzum Verav. Vanisa Vamarta, you should declare, and you should say, what? Before Hashem, Arami Oved Avi, an Aramean is destroying my father. Again, there are different ways to understand those words. But certainly the Chazal understand it. Arami Oved Avi. An Aramean is destroying my father.
What is that?
That's talking about Lavan. Lavan is a destroyer of Yaakov. Is a destroyer of Yaakov. And then it says, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayogar Sham Bimseimaat. We went down to Mitzrayim, right? And we dwelt there with very little, right? With a few numbers. Vayisham the Goy Gadol Tzuvram. And there we became a great nation. So now, why does it say Arami Ovid Avi? He's a destroyer of my father. It should be say Arami Avad Avi. He wanted to destroy. You know, Rashi says the reason that he's referred to as a destroyer, he didn't actually destroy us. He wanted to destroy us, but Hashem didn't let him. Right? He wanted to destroy Yaakov, but Hashem didn't let him. So it would be so. But because he wanted to, so we attribute to him as though he did it. Because by the Gentile world, a machshav ara, right? Hashem is mitzarf et lamaisa. He considers it almost as though you actually did it. Right? By a Jew whose essence is not to do something like that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mitzaref. He doesn't attribute as though you had done an act yet when it's still in your world of machshava, because you haven't brought it to fruition. You haven't brought it to fruition. But by what he called by the Rishoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaref machshava ra'al ma'isa. So in any event, but it says it should be avad. He tried to kill us. So says the Taz, right? Says the Taz, that the whole structure of the pasuk over here is very interesting. What is this declaration? Legabe, what he called a bikurim. It's a statement of hakoras atov. It's a statement of recognizing, right, that what he called that Hashem has done something for me, and it's done in such an interesting fashion. Arami Ovid Ovi says the Taz, right? He is in his essence a destroyer.
This is referring to Lavan.
Lavan. He is in his essence a destroyer of the Jewish people. And that's what it's meaning to say over here, to recognize the good, that therefore, when the Jewish people went into Golus, they didn't go into Golus in Aram, where Lavan's influence is found. But rather, they went down to Mitzrayim. And even though they suffered in Mitzrayim, and even though they were brutalized in Mitzrayim, and even though they were enslaved in Mitzrayim, but it was better, what he called it, that we went down to Mitzrayim, and that Hashem didn't leave us in the clutches of Lavan, because Lavan was a destroyer, he would have destroyed us.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a fascinating statement on Hakaras HaTov. On the one hand, we see that Lavan wanted to destroy us. Lavan, we also know, as the Targum told us before, is Bilam, right? He's the same dude. He's the same dude. And we call it, and not only do we see that Lavan and Bilam are the same person, but the fact is that the Torah, when it talks in Parshas Bikurim, which is, like we said before, the quintessential expression of Hakaras HaTov, of recognition that Hashem is the source of everything, that He gives me everything. I give my first fruits to Him, and I make this declaration. The way the Taz understands it, that how do you show your Hakaras HaTov? We went down to Mitzrayim. We suffered in Mitzrayim. It's true we became a great nation over there, but we did suffer over there. But, right? Imagine if He'd left us with Lavan. If He'd left us with Lavan, Lavan would have destroyed us. So we're stating Hakaras HaTov even on something which is very bitter. We went down to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was not good. But it could have been worse. It would have been terrible. It would have been catastrophic if we'd been by Lavan. It would have been catastrophic if we'd been by Lavan. So the Taz is saying that this is an unusual expression of Hakaras HaTov. It's a deeper expression of Hakaras HaTov. It shows that the person, right, is so cognizant, so much recognizes that Hashem is the source of everything, Hashem is the source of good, that even when something comes wrapped in a very bitter pill, right, it comes wrapped in even a bitter, bitter pill, but I know that's for the good. And that's his expression over here. Lavan was a destroyer. He wanted to destroy me. Not destroy me. And not only wanted to destroy me, he isn't destroying his essence. And had we fulfilled, right, Paul, the gullus that we had to go into, because we knew that already at the time of Avram Avinu from Bris Ben Absarim, that the Jewish people were going to have to go into gullus, had that been fulfilled in the land of Lavan, we would have been destroyed. So I'm being maketov to Hashem, that even though we went down to Mitzrayim, which was a horror, but it could have been in the land of Lavan, and then we would have been destroyed.
Whitewash.
Right. Oh. It's interesting. Only a person who has, we know that what he called that, you know, the Pirkei Avos says that there are different mitos between Avram, what he called, you know, they're polar opposites, Avram and what he called and Bilam.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the qualities of Avram is he has a ruach nemucha. He's what he called, he's humble, right? Right? As opposed to Bilam, who's got a ruach gvoah. He's what he called, he's egocentric. A person who's egocentric, the minute you touch something on him, you're my enemy. The minute you touch something on him, it's not fair. If, however, a person is humble and he knows before whom he stands, so I know what he called, I owe Hashem everything. So he's always searching for what he called that, for what he called, and even when he doesn't see it or understand it, he knows it's all good because it's coming from Hashem. So this statement is so interesting. This statement of Hakaras HaTov, which is wrapped in the discussion of the relationship between the Jewish people and Lavan, is a sort of statement that Lavan himself could never have said, right? You see, Lavan is the ultimate of ego. When he sees Yaakov, if he tried wanted to destroy him, he caught up with him, and Hashem said, "Don't you dare touch Yaakov," right? In Parshas Vayetze, at the end of Parshas Vayetze, he catches up to him by Gilad. And because he says, you know, I would have destroyed you, but God came the other night and said, really quiet, I shouldn't touch you. I guess I won't do it. He says, but you shouldn't. And all this is mine. Habanim banai, recall banos banosai, v'chol asher toro elihu, and all that you've done over here, it's all mine. Oh my goodness, the guy's full of himself. So it's an interesting point. So again, Lavan wants to destroy us. Lavan is Bilam. Here we see that what he called that in Parshas Bikurim, right?
Bilam was loving because Bilam wants to destroy.
Right, him. Right. So what he called says, we see over here that this is one fashion that Bilam wanted to destroy us. Another fashion, and I'm synopsizing, the Maaseh Hashem says a different way that Bilam wanted to destroy us, and we'll feel from this, right? From this, we'll particularly understand how Lavan wanted to destroy us. I'm sorry, the Maaseh Hashem explained how Lavan wanted to destroy us, but we'll appreciate that with regard to Bilam as well. Lavan says the Maaseh Hashem. That's Rav Elazar Ashkenazi.
Mm-hmm.
How did he want to destroy us? He says, if you look in when Lavan catches up to Yaakov,
wanted to get us drunk and seduce us to foreign women.
Oh well, that's here in this parsha. That's in this parsha. In this parsha. You're right, in this parsha. That's what he called. That's with the Benos Moav at the end of this parsha. But
a bad way to go, maybe.
Drunken women. Okay. I meted out appropriate punishment.
You charge a big massage?
I meted out appropriate punishment for what you call the inappropriate comments that I made here. What you call bleep. At any event, what you call it, the Maaseh Hashem says as follows. The Maaseh Hashem says that when Lavan catches up to Yaakov, so he wanted to catch up to him, and he was wondering where his truffim were. Remember the truffim, those are the Lord of Azarat. He says to Yaakov, he says, Nichsof nichsaf to the base of Vicha. Lama ganav telohai. So the Maaseh Hashem says, what does that mean? Nichsof nichsaf, you desire to go home to the land of your fathers, the house of your fathers. Why did you steal my gods? So it's like a non sequitur. What does one have to do with the other? So the Maaseh Hashem says, because Lavan was essentially saying to Yaakov, if you'd stolen my gods, and he wanted to stay with me, so I would have felt that was a success in my chinuch, right? I thought you'd be a chip off the old block, right? Here you stole the gods because you want to manipulate things, events, just like I did using these false, what do you call it, you know, prognostication devices, the trophim, the what do you call it, the vodazara, the whole thing. Right? Go, I don't believe this bunch. But it doesn't make any sense, Yaakov. You want to return to the land of your fathers. You want to return to what he called to those ways, to your father's house. So why'd you steal my gods? In other words, we see from there that what Lavan wanted most for Yaakov, the way he wanted to destroy him, was to destroy him in Ruchnius. Right? He wanted to destroy him in Ruchnius. He wanted to, what he called, he wanted to transform him into another person like Lavan. He wanted to make his son-in-law like him. That's why he asked the question, if you want to go back to your house, your father, so you obviously don't want to be like me. So why'd you steal my gods? That's an oxymoron.
Uh-huh.
Right? Right? That's a dumb ox. Okay, sorry, John. So it's an interesting thing. So the two ways we see that Lavan, we call the way the Taz describes it, is mostly destruction on a. They want to physically destroy, and the way the Maaseh Hashem describes it, he wants to spiritually destroy, and that's Lavan. And the Targum told us, right, called that who's Lavan? Bilam is Lavan. Bilam is Lavan. So again, let's get with the right. So let's get together. We've got two people over here, two antagonists to the, what do you call it, to the Jewish people here. We've got Balak, right, and Balak is what he called. He's concerned that the Jewish people of Chisas Eina Aretz. They've covered up the view of the land, right? We don't know exactly what that means yet, but we saw other places where what was the idea of covering up the view of the land has to do with a misperception of the relationship between the earth and what he called in the heavens, between the physical world and the spiritual world. That's his problem. And then we got Bilam, who is Lavan, who wants to destroy us. Perhaps he wants to destroy us physically, perhaps he wants to destroy us spiritually, perhaps he wants to destroy us any way that he can. Further, what does Balak say? What he calls it? Now let's be Madaik, and now we'll see it in Rashi as well. When Balak speaks to Bilam, He says, "Ata and now, l'chona orali, curse this amazeh, ki atzumu mimeni, right? Because they're more powerful than I. Ulai uchal nakebo, because perhaps then I, if you curse them, I will be able to strike a blow to them. V'agashenu mina oretz, and I will be able to vanquish them from the land. Ki adati esher tivarech mavarach v'esher ta'or yuah, because I know that anybody who bless is, will be blessed, anybody who you curse will be cursed. Fine." What does Bilam say when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him? He says, you know, well, who are these people? Why, you know, when Balak sent him messengers, you know, to bring him to what he called to curse these people. So Hashem asked Bilam, what are these people here for? So Bilam says, Hine Am.
I don't understand what you said there.
Okay, I'll say it slower. We call it when Balak sends to Bilam, he says, "I want somebody because I want to be Vagarshenu Me'aretz. I want to be able to vanquish them from the land, right? Why? Because V'chisa saying Aretz, because they're covering up the view of the land. Yeah. When Hashem says to Bilam, where are you going, Bilam boy? Where are you going? Yeah. So Bilam tells him, well, Balak. Right, said to me that he wants me to come. Right, he said to me as follows: Hinei ha'am hayotzei Mitzrayim vaychas esein ha'aretz ata l'cha kavu liyoso ulai uchal leilachem bo begerashtiv. So when Bilam paraphrases, as it were, what Balak said to him, he doesn't say va'agarshenu min ha'aretz. He says begerashtiv. I want to drive them away altogether. Right, says Rashi. Right, min ha'olam. I want to just drive them out of the world. So in other words, Bilam, in other words, it's a kilo of Freudian, it's not really, it's sort of a Freudian slip, you could say. I mean, maybe not. Yeah? What Bilam is saying, what he means, is I want to drive them out of the world. Balak just wants to drive them away from the land. But Bilam wants to drive them out of the world. Right? That's what Rashi says. Balak la'omer el-gashenu me'oretz. Any mevakish shall see him alive. I just want to get rid of him from near me. Bilam ayasonam yoser mi Balak. Bilam hated the Jews more than Balak. So once again, Rashi, right, was medayek in the psukim themselves that Balak's agenda was to get them away from the land. Bilam's agenda was to destroy them entirely. And once again, that's what we saw before, right? Bilam is Lavan, and Lavan wants to destroy the Jewish people. How do they want to destroy them? Perhaps physically, perhaps spiritually, any way they can. To destroy them. Further. Okay. Now, this at first glance, this might seem like what he called a left field, but it really is not. Now, go back to Bereishis. This is talking about Lot. Vayisa Lot es eina vayaras kol kikar ayarding kikula mashke. This is where Lot and Avram part ways. Actually, Avram and Lot part ways. Avram said to him, choose where you're going to go, because we can't stay together. Right? Your worldview and my worldview is not working out. Your shepherds and my shepherds are fighting. There's no Lotov. You choose where you're going to go, and I'll choose whatever else that you didn't choose. So Vayisa Lot as Einav. He lifted up his eyes. Ready? Caught. Right? And he looked. And he saw what he wanted. Vayar is called Kikar Yardi. He saw the valley of the Jordan. Kikula Mashke. Right, it was all what he called. It was all fertile. Lifnei shachet Hashem es Zdom v'Amora. Before Hashem destroyed Zdom v'Amora, kegan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim bo'achatzor. It was like the garden of Hashem. It was gorgeous. It was fertile. Right, the trees were like what he called. Where trees were everywhere, and it was what he called. And the vegetation was lush, etc. And the vegetation was lush and recorded. And Rashi says, Ad Tsoar, Umedrish Agoda, Dorsha, Lignai, Al Shahaya, Shtufe Zima, Bacholo Lot, Bishchunasam. Why did Lot want to recall? Shtufe Zima, he saw that the people, right, in that valley over there, were steeped in lewd behavior, right, in licentious behavior. He says, this is where I want to be. That's Lot.
Was that the. That was Sodom and Gomorrah?
That, right. Sodom and Gomorrah, right. That's where he wanted to be. Who are Lot's children and grandchildren? Moab, where Balak is from, and Ammon. Ammon and Moab, those are his children and grandchildren, right? In other words, he committed incest with his daughters, right? And from them came Moab and Ammon. So now let's see. Let's see the Shem Yishmuel over here. Now we understand a little bit more about what he called about Balak and also a little bit about Bilam. Lahavin machshav tam shel Bilam u Balak. Right? What exactly, this is the Shem Yishmuel speaking here. What exactly, what were they thinking, Bilam and Balak? Shevaruach piem, right? Ubekolosim yuchul levatel. Did they actually think they could undo Hashem's relationship with what he called with the Jewish people?
Who is that?
Right, and the Hashem Yishmuel is asking Bilam and Balak. They were wise men, right? They were evil, but they were wise. Did they actually think they could undo the entire relationship that existed between the Jewish people and Hashem, built upon because the actions of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, etc.? Did they really think that? Hello, Bilam uBalak Chachomim laHara hayu lo tipshim she is bruzos kazos vaod sheAmar Shema fatenu laKadosh Baruch Hu. He even says what he called Bilam uses the terminology. Maybe I can seduce Hashem into listening to me. Shekav haKadosh Baruch Hu Yisratel lezeh laHachli faUma Kedosha hazos shekibul Toraso right Yisbarach baUma faOlam. Right? Bilam is suggesting, what is Bilam suggesting? Bilam is suggesting, but he called, he says, why should you exchange the Jewish people for everybody else? Why should you exchange everybody else for the Jewish people? Because you'll be served by all the nations of the world on their level. Right? It's true, they won't be as sacred and sanctified like the Jewish people, but all the nations of the world, right? The Jewish people are a failed, they're a failed experiment. They can't recall, they can't maintain that level of Kedusha, right? Here, the way, what I'm suggesting is get rid of the Jewish people and all the nations of the world will serve you. That's what Bilam wants. What does Balak want? So Bilam wants to eradicate the Jewish people as the Jewish people, what he calls being the Am Hashem, the one that's special, the Zgula, Mikol HaAmim, right? They can't do it. There's no reason for what he calls, if you lower the standards, if you lower the bar, then you'll be served by all the nations of the world. Why aspire to excellence? Let's aspire to mediocrity. So it says what he called Venira, Hayinin, Dinei Bemedrash Rabba, Vagarshenu Me'oretz, Eini Mevakesh El Agarshem Shal Yikansu La'oretz. Balak, again, what he called, I'm not going to say exactly like what he called, like the Shem Yishmuel, but similar to him. Balak just wanted to chase them out of the land. Why? Says the Shem Yishmuel, because if the Jewish people were to enter into the land, right, and they, what he called, they therefore transform the land, the world of physicality, they transform it into a place of Kedusha. In other words, where you sanctify the physical, then that will be what he called the focal point, the central point of the universe. And it means that all the rest of the world is going to be subservient to it. Subservient not in terms of paying tribute, but subservient to it. In other words, it'll all revolve around the orbit, around what he called, around Eretz Yisrael that is now physical, but yet sanctified by the Jewish people and by the Torah and their mitzvahs and their good deeds, etc. And that means, if that now is going to become the orbit, right, of what he called of the world, it's all going to revolve around the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. So all the rest of the world now is also going to have to march to the beat of that drummer. They're going to have to march to the beat of the drummer. You can't do your own thing. If that becomes the central point, right? So everything's going to have to orbit around that. So even though the nations of the world are not going to be as holy as the Jewish people, they're going to have to be on the same lane. They're going to have to be on the same highway if they're going to receive any good in this world. It means there's no longer going to be a world of licentiousness. There's no longer going to be a world of where we call anything goes, what he called the physical world. Mm-hmm. Like I told you, as I mentioned the other day, this billboard, right? Like the billboard. I saw a billboard now, what he called. I saw a billboard in when I was in Chutzlart now. Right? Remember, I used to tell you about this billboard I saw when I get off a plane, when I get JFK and go to what he called to the high school dorm there. I remember we passed by on some highway there. It was the Grand Central or the Van Wyck, whatever. It was a big highway. Newport cigarettes, alive with pleasure. A picture of what he called a priestess, by a mountain stream. Everybody's cavorting there. What he called the men, the women. What he called. Yeah, Alagut Hazachen, and there in the corner it says, the Surgeon General says, if you smoke, you're going to drop dead, right? And that would call, so that's the way it was over 40 years ago. Now, this time, it was in Chutzlars, I saw called a sign, now that was, we've reached the apex. Then it was, you know, it's nice, it's fun, it's really cool, it's, you know, everybody camaraderie and really cool and pleasure and sensuality. But now they got down to the bottom line. It says, go to the state fair. And we call it pigs. That's the title I'm going to call it on the billboard. Pigs. See one, eat one, be one. That was the title of the billboard. See one, eat one, be one. So what he calls that world is going to disappear, right? And this is what he calls, because if you don't, then you won't receive anything from the heavens. You won't see, you won't receive your basic needs anymore because you're not in orbit, right? You're not in orbit. You're not in orbit. And that's what Balak didn't want. He says, get him out of the land. They can stay in the Midbar. I don't care. Let them stay in the Midbar. Let them eat mun and let them be big tzaddikim and record and eat mun and drink the air and be surrounded by nani akavod. That's wonderful. But don't let them transform the earth. V'chisas ein ha'aretz. They're blocking my view of the earth. They're blocking my view of the earth. Right? They're blocking my view of the earth. Get rid of them. I don't want them to come into Eretz Yisrael. I don't need you to kill them. Don't kill them. Right? Don't kill them. Right? But I want to live life on my terms. And that's why Balak even offers up korbanos, as it were, in parallel to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. Right? I can serve you also, God. I can also do sacrifices. I can also show that I believe in you, etc., etc. But do me a favor. You stay in heaven, and I recognize that you're in heaven. And leave the earth to me. I want the earth on my terms. Don't let them enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's not what Bilam wants. Bilam wants to destroy them all together. He wants to get rid of them all together. So what do you call it? So we've got the Balak and Bilam record here. The Balak is get them out of the land. I don't want them in the land. And Bilam is what he called Vagashena. I want to destroy them all together. Because they're a failed experiment. Bilam is the philosopher over here at this point, right? In other words, the Jewish concept is a failed concept. We have to get rid of them. Final solution. Right? Final solution, we have to get rid of them. How do we get rid of them? Either we obliterate them physically, or we obliterate them, what we call it, spiritually. But we have to get rid of them, because they're a failed experiment. Right? And then all the nations of the world will serve you, God. And Balak is what he called, I may have such grand schemes. Balak is what he called, I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. Don't bother me. If they come into Eretz Yisrael, then I'm going to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered. Look at this fascinating thing.
Because
they're going to Eretz Israel, right? Because then the world is going to change. Because what do you call? You'll have a connection, right? You'll have a connection between the heavens and the earth. Just like we've said before that what do you call it, that Yerushalayim, the Beit HaMikdash, is the Mokum, the Nashkei Shamai Va'ara, the place where the heavens and the earth kiss, right? It's a place where heavens and earth come together. Once it's like that, right? So now the world, what do you call it, the focal point of the world is now different. Right, it's the center now of the universe. That's because that was the goal. The goal was to connect the heavens to earth, like the Chidush Yerim used to say. What he called the Shem Yishmuel quotes him. He says the pasuk says, "Hashamayim Shamayim Hashem, va'aretz nasan livnei Adam." The heavens belong to Hashem, and the earth was given to man to turn the earth into heaven. Right, to transform the earth into heaven. Right, to connect the earth to the heaven. That's what maybe it's man's job description. So that's what he calls. That's what the Shem Yishmuel says. B'tamtzis. Look at this fascinating piece over here. It's built upon a gra. I saw it quoted. What he called in Rav Shlomo Fisher Shlita's. What he called Sefer. Right. He's explaining what he got a piece from the gra. Basically, the gra says as follows. The gra says if you put together Bilam and Balak, so it spells Amalek and Bavel. Amalek and Bavel. Bil'am, Beis Lamed Ayin, right? Right? And you take the kuf from Balak, that's Amalek. And then what do you call it? And then you've got the what do you call it? You've got the you got the Beis Lamed in what do you call it from Balak and the Beis of Bil'am spells Bavel. Amalek and Bavel. And really, right, he says a fascinating thing. He says what he called, he says, Amalek and Bavel. Amalek wants to destroy the Jewish people entirely. Right? Right? They're the Rashis Goyim. They want to posit a different source, a different shoresh to the what he called the purpose of the universe. right? And then the Klal Yisrael are called, what he called, Reishis Tevasa. We're called, right? We're called the first of Hashem's crops in this world. So there are two Reishis. There's a philosophical battle between Amalek, what he called, and Klal Yisrael. And he says, Be'ikar Bilam is the, what he called, is the shorish of Amalek. And Balak is the shorish of Bavel. How so? What he called, in other words, just like Balak didn't want them to enter into Eretz Yisrael, who was the first one who destroyed the Jewish people's connection to Eretz Yisrael? Bavel, what he called Nebuchadnezzar. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and drove the Jewish people out of Eretz Yisrael. So Bavel is what he called is the culmination, as it were, of Balak in that sense, right? And Amalek is the culmination of Bilam in that sense, right? And as they're related to each other, so there's a combination, but he called them related to each other. He also brings from the Arizal a very interesting thing. He says that Shlomo HaMelech had a union, right, with, we call it, the Queen of Sheba, right, Malkat Shva.
She was Mitzri?
No, she was the Queen of Sheba. And from that union came Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, really?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Between
Shlomo HaMelech and what he called Malkat Shva, and the king, Queen of Sheba. No, comes clear. Out that Shlomo, who comes from where? Shlomo comes from, he traces his roots all the way back to Rus HaMoaviah, right? Balak is the king of Moab, right? Shlomo HaMelech comes from, he's the son of David. David is what he called, traces back to what he called the marriage between Boaz and Ruth. Ruth is a Moaviah. So it comes out the descendants of Balak, right? Descendants of Balak ultimately destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, right? Since that, you see that what he called the flaw, right? The tumor that's in Balak surfaced, yeah, and was successful in breaking the connection, at least temporarily, between the Jewish people, land of Israel. Interesting. Further, right? Look at what we call the difference. You know, Bilam, we said, is connected to Amalek. Amalek, in our parsha here, it says Achariso Ade Ove. He's going to be destroyed utterly. Balak, on the other hand, right? Balak is messed up. But look what the Gemara learns from Balak here in the Gemara Nazir.
Bilam was loving.
Bilam is loving, right? Destroy the Jewish people. Destroy them physically, destroy them spiritually, but destroy them. Like Balak is, get them out of my hair. Don't let them mess over my life. I don't want them cramping my style. What do you call it? The Gemara Nazir says, Amar Chiya Bar Avin, Amar Yeshua Ben Korcha, Lo'olam Yaktim Adam Ledvar Mitzvah. This is an unbelievable thing. Wait, did I leave out the other Gemara?
It's probably
on
page 5.
Okay, don't. Oh no, it's okay, here. Yeah. It says, we're called, La'olam yaktim adam ledvar mitzvah, shebeschar laila achas, shekodmasa bechir letzeira, zachsa v'kodma arba doros b'Yisrael l'malchus. Listen to this. This is the Gemara Nazir. A person should always be quick to do a dvar mitzvah. Don't tarry, do it right away. Why? Because the elder daughter of Lot had a union with her father first, right? So she, her descendants, became attached to the Jewish people 4 generations before the descendants of her younger sister, who waited till the next night.
What happened?
Remember, they thought there was nobody left in the world. Who's gonna populate the world? They got their father drunk. The first night, what he called, the elder daughter, what he called, had a union with her father. The next night, the younger daughter had a union with her father. The first, what he called, the first night, right, from that was conceived Moab, who is what he called, who is the source of what he called, of David HaMelech. He came from Moab, because he came from what he called Rus HaMoaviah, right? And the second night was conceived Amon, right? And Amun only joined up to the Malchus of Israel because Shlomo HaMelech married Naama HaAmonis. He married what he called an Ammonis by the name of Naama, and her son was Rechavam, who was the next king after Shlomo. So four generations, because
Rechavam was a good king.
Rechavam, he was okay. I mean, what he called, he made some mistakes, but he was a tzaddik.
So what's the point here?
The point is that what are learning
trying
from?
Trying to hurry up and do this.
Right, to do it now. Isn't that bizarre? To learn that you should rush to do a mitzvah for an act of incest. It's crazy, no? But what's interesting over here, and this is what typifies. Yeah, the flaw of Moab, they don't have it all together, right? Her intention was l'shem shamayim. She thought there were no more men left in the world. The world is going to come to an end. We have to populate the world. Her intention was good. Her kavana was good, but her ma'aseh was horrible, right? She committed incest. But her intention was good. So we learn from that. Yeah, we learn from that. That when we, who know how to do mitzvahs, where our kavana is meant to be good, and our, what do you call it, and our act is good, right? But we can learn from her where her act was no good, but her kavana was good, that how you should approach mitzvahs. Don't waste your time, do it right away. On the other hand, look at this, right? And what do you call it, that we know that Lamaisa is from those daughters that Mashiach comes. The Rambam says that Mashiach has to be descendant, not only of Shlomo HaMelech, not only of David, but he had to be descendant of Rechavam, who came from Naama Amonis. In other words, Mashiach has to come from that world of both Moab and Amon. And in the Pasuk even hints to it. The Medrash says that what he calls that the Pasuk that we learned in Tilim, Matzasi, is David Avdi. I found David, right? Where did I find him? I found him in Zdom, right? That's where he was found. He was found. He was what he called his source comes out of stone, comes out of the daughters of Lot, right? Who fathered their own what he called children and grandchildren, as it were. Now look at the other side. Look at the other side here. Another thing that we learned from Moab. It says, I went to the wrong place. The same Gemara Nazir says, this is also Nazir, but here Horios, because I want to show the Marsha. Amr of Yudom Arav, La'olam Yasak Adam betorah mitzvos afilu shalolishma. Shemato shalolishma balishma. A person, right, shouldn't be afraid to be osik in Torah mitzvos, even without the best kavana, right? In other words, you shouldn't say to yourself, I shouldn't even bother doing the mitzvah because I'm not the biggest tzaddik, right? I'm not doing it totally shem shamayim. He says, no, don't say that. Do the mitzvah anyway. Right? And where do we learn it from? Shebeschar membeis korbanos shehikriv balak harasha. Because in the reward of Balak sacrificing the 42 korbanos that he was makriv in this, what he called in this week's parsha, right? To simulate Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and all the korbanos that they brought, yeah? Yotza mimenu rus. He was zochrev rus. Damar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Rus, Bas Benoshel, Eglon, Ben Benoshel, Balak, Melech, Moav. So it came from him, Rus, from whom David came. So look at this. There's also a weird thing. Here we have an act which is good, a Korban to Hashem, but the Kavanah is no good. The Kavanah is, he wants to show that I can serve you also, and you don't really call it, you don't have to bring the Jews into Eretz Israel.
What was the good Korban?
The Korban was a good act. He was giving a Korban to Hashem. His Kavanah, though, was no good.
What was the Korban?
He brought a par and an ayah. He wanted to show, Bill doesn't do this. Balak, he wanted to show, what he called, see, I'm also, what he called, I can serve you also, Hashem. What he called, don't change the land. Leave me with the pigs. Leave me with the pigs. See one, eat one, be one. Record, I want to live like that. Well, don't bring them to Eretz Israel. They want to be holy. Let them stay in the desert. Let them eat their man. Let them drink their air. Let them be surrounded with clouds of glory. And keep them away from me. Mm-hmm. So, but see, he did a good act, but his kavanah was no good. His kavanah was what he could want to show that he can also serve Hashem, and therefore you don't need to bring the Jewish people to Eretz Israel, etc. So it's such a funny thing. We learn from Moab, essentially, from Balak, Melech Moab, and from the source of Moab, the eldest daughter of Lot, mm-hmm. right? we learn certain dinim. We still learn certain things about mitzvot, right? We learn on the one hand, we talk shalom l'shma, bal l'shma, right? Go do it to be osik and Torah mitzvot. Record even shalom l'shma, because eventually what came from him David, right? Came from him David. But don't shalom l'shma, bal l'shma. Eventually something good will come out of it, even though you're not doing it with the best kavanas, right? As long as it's not doing it in order to hurt somebody, that doesn't work. But as long as, if you're doing it just, you know, to, for covet, etc., so that's not the way that you shouldn't plan to end there, but it's really cool. But something good will come of it. Something good will come of it. And you also learn from Benos Loth, you learn, really cool, even when you, even if you did, really cool, you, even if you're, when your covenants are good, even if you did something that wasn't good, right, something good will come of that also. But but a Jew needs to do what's right, and he has to do with a good kavana, etc. But it's a fascinating thing. It's a fascinating thing. So finally, let's just see what he called. Let's see one more approach. One more approach to what he called to how Bilam wanted to destroy what he called the Jewish people. Right? The Gemara says, the Gemara of Odazara says, it says that Bilam said he could curse the Jewish people, right? Because he wanted to take advantage of the rega, of the moment. Mm-hmm. Of the moment where there's a fracture called Yochel between Hashem's Ratzon and the world, right? Take advantage of that, plug the Jewish people into it, and record, and the curse will work on them, and then record, that'll be the end. The Tosis asks, what can you possibly say in a rega, in an instant, right? So the Tosis says, you could have said, here, this is the Tosis of here in Avodah Zarah, Haya Omer, right, Kalem, which we ordinarily understand to destroy them. Because Baruch Hu Hafkol v'Amar Melech. Because Baruch Hu changed what Bilam wanted to say. He wanted to say Kalem, right? And instead what came out is Melech. It's what he called Melech, right? Same letters. Mem Lamed Chaf or Chaf Lamed Mem. Kalem Melech. So the Toldos Yitzchak, that's what he called, that's the uncle, I think, of the Beis Yosef. Yeah? He says a fascinating thing. We talked about this before. He says, a person who's put together right, if he's a melech, we'll talk about some more, is melech stands for moach, lev, kaved. The intellect, the heart, and the liver. The seat of the neshama, which is pure, right, is by the moach, the physical seat. Of the spirit, of the neshama is by the moach. The physical seat of the ruach, the direction, your affect, your conduct, the way you conduct yourself, is in the lev, in the heart. And the kaved is, that's the nefesh, the drives, your wants. Moach, lev, kaved. If a person, right, has his moach on the top, and that's the Jewish people, that's the ultimate in what the Jewish people are aspiring to. That the truth, right, of the Torah should stand as a crown upon their head and influence which direction their affect, their heart, their ruach is going to take, and then in turn that directs the drives, right? It doesn't neuter the drives, it directs them in a proper fashion. Kalem, which is also kelem, which is also shame, right? Is when the kavod is on top, the drives, see one, eat one, be one, right? The drives are on top. And then that in turn controls the affect, person's what he calls feelings. What does he love? What does he hate? He hates what he calls things that are what he calls are holy. He loves things that are lewd, etc. And then the moach, what he calls, and now I'll justify it to you. He harnesses the seichel, harnesses the intellect to be the servant of the drives, right? Kaved lev moach. That's what Bilam wanted to do. He wanted to be able to do. But Hashem didn't allow him to do it. And he switched it, what he called, to melech, truas melech bo, that the friendship of the melech is with them, and that they are with the melech all the time. The Toldos Yitzchak just happens to add and say that what he called, for many people it's difficult to do that, have the moach on the top. At the very least, what he called, he says, what you should have is lochem, the lev, and then the kaved, lechem, the lev, and then the kaved, record and then record and then the mark. In other words, if your leiv is good with good feelings, so hopefully you'll record, control the kaved and record, and then the mark will follow suit if the leiv is on top. But that's for the regular folks. I mean, that's a side point. What he called the eker is that what Bilam wanted to do to destroy what he called the Jewish people is to turn them into kelem, into shame, into busha. Kaved leiv moach. Kaved leiv moach. So finally, Rekord. So this is Rekord. We've seen two approaches over here, Balak and Bilam. Balak, just leave me alone. Don't mess over my life, right? Bilam, right? God, you need to be served by all the nations of the world. The Jewish people are a failed experiment. And finally, the last thing over here is the bracha that Rekord that Bilam wound up giving to the Jewish people. It's Matovo Alecha Yaakov Mishra Sechi Yisrael. Right? How would he call it? How exquisite are your tents? Right? I stood in your tents. Right? And upon that, the Mor Vashemesh says a very interesting thing. He says, Matovo Alecha Yaakov, how exquisite, how comely are your tents, O Yaakov. So Rashi, Chazal tells us there, Rashi tells us over there that their tents didn't face one another. Right? So on the one hand, that's what he called, that's telling us that they didn't want to see each other as tents, right? They didn't want to give them an ayin hara. They would record. They didn't want to see something not sanua and somebody else's thing. They kept their eyes to themselves, and that's true. He adds another point, though. See, it's more of a shamish. Beautiful thing. Vayisa bilam es enav. Vayaris shel shochin lishvata vatilav ruach lukin pirish Rashi. Right, he turned his eyes upward. Ra kol, what he called shavit v'shavit. He saw every shavit. Shochin la'atzma.
Who saw every shavit?
Bilam. He looked at what he called the encampment of the Jewish people. He saw every shavit by itself. Shochin la'atzma. Ve'enem u'ravim. Ra she'en pischeim mechuvanim zeh k'neged zeh. He saw that their houses were not opposite one another. Vati alav ruach elokim pirish bezor ha'kodosh alav al Yisrael sharsa ha'shchina. So Yuchel Kalim. What happened was is that the Shechina rested upon the Jewish people when he saw this upon them, and therefore he couldn't curse them. Venira Baderch Pashat Shumida Kenegan Mida. This is what he called. This is an appropriate thing that took place over here. Why? The Vishahem Shomres Atzman Levilti Yistakev Kol Echad BePisco Shel Chaveru Liros BaAsakov Kadesh Lo Yachnis Ben Ayin Hara. Right? He didn't want to give Ayin Hara to each other. Fine. Right. Gam yesh lomar. And he says, I want to say another kavana here. This is a more of a shamish. Hakavana she'ein pischeim mechuvanim ze keneged ze dine haklal hu shekol tzadik yochas darcho v'ilucho b'kedusha u'pasach lo pesach la'atzmo v'lulasos mitzvah anoshim ilumada. Right? They weren't trying to copy each other. They were trying to do every act properly in what made them special, right? That make their Judaism vibrant, right? Not perfunctory acts. Mitzvahs anoshim lumada. He saw that. He says this is an exquisite people, and there's everything that we call that Bilam or Balak could offer to the world, right? It only will do the perfunctory actions. But our heart, we'll just do it. We'll do the actions. We'll do this. We'll do that. We'll bring the korbanos, etc. But not that our hearts will be bound up with the Creator. As we do the mitzvahs, each person will do with their unique qualities. That's like the shlosh, as we've said before, Yisrael. Yei shishim riba osios haTorah. 600,000 osios in the Torah. That's Yisrael. Every person's got his own os. Every person's got his own baggage. Every person's got his own hurdles. Every person's got his own difficulty. Every person's got his own strengths. And when he does the mitzvah with who he is, he wants to do the mitzvah the best way possible, right? And he wants to do it the best way with the most kavana based on who he is. Mm-hmm. Who am I? I'm coming with my difficulties. I'm coming with my background. I'm coming with my baggage. I'm coming with my strength. I want to do the mitzvah the way I want to do it. Because I want to connect to the Creator. I don't want to just do it through perfunctory actions. That's the best blessing, to the Jewish people. And that's why, there's nothing that Bilam or Balak could possibly offer that could exchange, the Jewish people for the nations of the world, because all they can say is, we'll play the game. But Jewish people don't want to play the game. They're deadly earnest, We want to give ourselves over, right, to the Rabbon Shalom, right, heart and soul. Okay.
Cool.